The Guardians released a statement here, BT. See, we're in New York, so maybe it doesn't mean as much to us. I know there's a huge thing that's going to transcend the sports world and all that stuff, the gambling. And now it's a bigger deal because it's two Guardians and because it's Class A, who's a big name. But usually we're like, it doesn't really impact us with the Mets or Yankees. But this does, not only because his name could have been a trade bait name, but, dude, this is bad for the sport. Guardians been notified by Major League Baseball as part of their sports betting investigation. Emmanuel Class A has been placed on non-disciplinary paid leave per an agreement with the Players Association. The Guardians have been informed that no additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted. Now, we don't know that. It says that they are expected. No other additional players or club personnel are expected to be impacted. Still, you don't know. Guardians not permitted to comment further at this time. And this is obviously, a confidential thing in the league. But, dude, you got one of the game's brightest closers. You're right. What if this were last year during the postseason?
Yeah.
And Class A's grooving them to the Yankees? Like, whatever. Or the Guardians bullpen grooving them to Soto or Jet. Like, this is just, it's not just that. Overall, this is bad, man.
It's bad. It's bad because they wouldn't take this step unless there was some sort of digital imprint or something that they have where, I mean, you throw your name into some sort of an issue like this, I don't think they would be so reckless if they just heard, hey, maybe Class A is involved with some betting. They've done their due diligence behind the scenes, and they feel comfortable enough to say you're not playing. And when somebody does that, I'd have to think they've got something on him. And it's a horrendous look. You use the word authenticity. I totally agree. Listen, I go to, you see a Broadway show, you see a movie. You don't really, it's all orchestrated. We went to Saturday Night's Main Event. Like, there's an orchestration. There's a predetermined outcome. But you understand that going in. One of the beautiful things about sports is that it's the exact opposite. There is no script. There is no detailed ending. However it ends is when it's going to end, and that's what happens. And if that's compromised or taken away, well, then what the hell is separating a baseball game from an act on Broadway? I mean, really. I mean, it's just they got to rule with a heavy hand here. Whatever they find, they have to punish people and destroy them, basically.
And now you try to think, okay, well, because the initial thought was with gambling becoming legal and, these different leagues getting in bed with them to a certain extent, which we understand that. Everybody wants to make money, which is understood. But then how would you prevent the players from getting involved? And the way would be, well, they're making so much money now that it wouldn't impact them. With Emmanuel Class A, he has made, in his career, $15 million. Now, I'm sure that's before taxes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? 100%.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, sadly, not that much money.
Probably $7.5 million.
For a big leaguer. There. Obviously, it's a lot of money for normal people.
Yeah.
But for a big leaguer who wants to live the life of a big leaguer and one of the best closers in the game, I guess it's not enough. And when you think, I could bet $5 million on whether this pitch is going to be a ball or not.
Yeah.
And just throw a ball. It's actually that simple.
I know. Well, he would have to have
somebody else do
somebody it. Somebody do it for him. That's the easiest thing to manipulate. I mean, if you don't, see, if you usually people get caught, and I'm very curious to see some details. We have none.
You saw the ones with the last guy, right?
I did.
Okay.
I saw those.
Because that, to me, is what makes me think of this, where it was clearly they said that action showed that there was a large amount bet on this pitch being a ball, and the ball's 5 feet out of the strike zone.
It's not even close there. So those are the things that are easily manipulatable if you have somebody to do it. The problem is greed is usually what gets people. Like, if you just do a one-off now, if it's a red flag and there's a spike in betting like $1 million on one pitch, like, okay, what is this?
All right.
But if it's just like, if you're smart about it, I'm not trying to give people a roadmap how to cheat here at all, but really, the smarter play would be, all right, let me bet, $5,000 here. Let me bet $7,500 over here.
Right, but then what's that going to do to them?
Well, it's going to get a little cut there. And if you do it over time, then there's really no track or scent or attention to something that is so astronomically out of whack to what's normally bet. So you're going to have a longer. Now, you're not going to make as much each bet. You're going to have more of a runway to actually bet and not get caught.
And by the way, who's to say that can't be happening with multiple players now?
I know. Yeah, listen, the other thing, too, is, the one thing, and you kind of intimated this, and I've heard this a lot, the thought is, well, people that have money, players that have money, aren't going to get embroiled in this stuff here, but there's such a thing as addiction that supersedes the amount of money in your account. There's a lot of drug addicts who have millions in the bank. There are a lot of people who, you know, think about Madoff. I mean, think about all the money that Madoff made, and it still wasn't enough. So all the illegal stuff that came with it, with that impacted the Wilpons and the Mets there. So just because you have money doesn't mean that you're insulated to doing something illegal.
Right. I just don't know the motive, as Mickey would say, the motivization of this whole thing here. Like, why? What's the motive for Class A? How much could he have possibly bet on this to make?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that the motivation could be the action itself. I mean, yeah. Think about it. You and I have talked about this.
I know, but do you think that that's the case where the guy, I mean, we don't know.
I don't know.
But two random Cleveland Guardian pitchers all of a sudden get into that?
Maybe they had other debts. I mean, maybe they owe people money.
Can he bet on football or something to scratch the itch? Like, or whatever, play fantasy baseball or fantasy football or something?
I guess, but you have less impact on what happens with Justin Jefferson going over, you know, 73.5 yards than you do a ball or a striker serving up a, you know, 430-foot home run by doing a room service fastball.
But you know you're risking your whole career and livelihood. Like, this 100%. Guy, if he's found, now he's not guilty yet.
No.
Right? Okay.
No.
If he's found guilty, that could be a career ender.
He should be out of baseball at that point. It, depending upon what he did, I'd have to really know what he did.
That's why I'm saying I think I would have a zero tolerance policy if you are caught in any way, shape, or form, even thought to be. Now, it's hard. What if a guy's not? But I would assume that there are ways that you get to it where you know.
Well, that's why I use the term digital imprint. Nowadays, like, there's really nothing to interpret. You know, you could send a text and you could delete it. It's there. I mean, forever. Yeah. So once you get into the FBI hands and once you start doing this extensive research, I mean, you're not fooling anybody.
Right. It's all out there. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Cameron calling from Mahwah. What's up, Cameron?
Hi.
Hi.
I want the Mets to trade for Luis Robert Jr. from the Chicago White Sox because it sounds like the White Sox really want Mark Vientos. I don't know how I feel about trading Vientos, but Lubob has very good potential. I feel like once he gets out of Chicago, he'll be very good. His season stats, he has a .209 batting average, which is a little concerning, but he does have 10 home runs and 41 RBIs. How do you feel about trading to Luis Robert for the New York Mets?
Well, I'm trying to get past the fact, and thank you for the call, Cameron, that you know, obviously sounded underage there.
Yep. But pretty well spoken.
Well, yeah, very good.
Pretty buttoned up. Pretty good job, buddy.
How about that Lubob? I never heard that for Luis
Robert.
Neither
have I.
Now, do we pin this on Hoff's bad ear because of the ear infection? What happened there, Hoff? How'd that one get by you?
Well, he sounded smarter than me. That's the first thing.
Oh, so you did know he was a child that you put on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did talk to his grandfather who was sitting right next to him. I forgot Stan was his name.
I thought he was great. Yeah, he did better than some of the other calls we had today. That kid was on top of it, man. He's giving stats.
He did sound pretty good. Just something, it always throws me off when I hear a young kid calling. I like the idea of Luis Robert. I've opened myself up to it.
Why?
Because I don't like the idea of Cedric Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea of Harrison Bader. Again, in isolation. Mm-hmm. If it were Suarez and then Bader, yeah, I could live with it. I don't think Bader's enough of an upgrade where I'd make that move. I certainly don't think that with Cedric Mullins. At least with Robert. Now, I'd also want a bullpen arm. I did this trade the other day on Sports Night, I think, where I said, give me Mike Vassell back. Give me an arm from the White Sox pen that can be useful. And you get two for one. You get an arm back. Vassell's been on fire as of late. Former Met farmhand, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You bring Vassell back, and you get Luis Robert, or as we call him, Lubob. And the potential of him in center field. At least you know you're getting a legitimate defensive center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential, he's under control. Like, there's still some upside there that, to me, I'd value the upside more than I would Cedric Mullins or Harrison Bader right now.
He's interesting. He's less interesting to me by the year. You know, to a lesser extent, if I'm going to apply this to what I said about McMahon getting in a winning competitive situation that could propel him to hit better.
Right.
You know, he never put up 38 home runs or had, you know, 20 steals or had the season that Robert had back in 2023 where he had almost an 860 OPS. But so what is the drop attributed to? You go from 857, it's just OPS, I won't hit you with all numbers, 857 to 657 to 632. I mean, you're not dropping because you've lost your athleticism or your vision's diminished. You're 27. So are you dropping because you're bored? Because the White Sox are a joke? Because nobody's around you to protect you? Are you dropping because you are just a sloppy player who doesn't really care at all? about your craft? I don't know the answer. I know he runs like the wind.
Yep.
I know he's got a great arm. I know he's got great range. I know he's got bat speed. I'm looking at all these things right now. Great bat. All elite. But he strikes out a ton. He walks a fair amount as well. Strikes out a ton, and his stats have been horrendous the last couple years.
Under control for two more years with club options, according to Spotrac here, what I'm looking at. For $20 million each of the next 2 years, 26 and then 27 again. I just think that the upside, I'm not saying I love him as a player.
Well,
the Mets need a center fielder, right? We could agree.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt.
You could.
I think they need that most.
Okay, me too. They don't have one. So Taylor is good. He's not a everyday center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
McNeil has done a serviceable job. Again, he's not even a center fielder, period, let alone everyday center fielder. So if they need a center fielder, and the options so far are Cedric Mullins and Harrison Bader,
yep.
I'd rather the chance of Robert, and at least I know the floor is, well, he's going to play good defensive center field, bring some speed. There's always going to be that potential that he can regain at least some of that offense. It's either that or the other option is to wait out Siri. Now, maybe there's another option. Maybe
yeah, Grisham, is he coming? What the hell happened to him? I mean,
it sounds like he might be back. But even when he comes back, like,
he's a 190 hitter.
Which I'm okay with the pop. You and I have had this argument.
Yeah, stolen bases, defense,
yeah,
pop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you'd be electric on the base pads, excellent defense, and he's got the pop. So as a nine hitter, I'm okay with that. But would I rather have Robert? Like, okay, if you take out the money, and the money shouldn't be the primary factor when you're trying to win a World Series, I still think if you're looking to upgrade center field, who's the best center fielder? McNeil, Taylor, Mullins, Bader, Siri, or Luis Robert Jr.?
A couple good defenders in there. Bader could get it. Obviously, Taylor's very good defensively. But in terms of like the best speed-power defense ratio slash upside, it's probably Robert.
Now, you have to pay, you know, you're on the hook for it. Well, it's a club option, though.
For what year, though?
Next year. This year, he's paid $15 million, so you have to pay whatever the remaining is on that.
That is probably about $3.5 million left, okay.
And then it says 2026 club option and 2027 club option.
Oh, two club options? Yes. I thought next year was full throttle $20 million. That's a club option?
That's what it says here.
Let me just double check that.
Ahead,
you might be right.
I'm not great with these websites. You're better at that than
I love
me.
This stuff. All right, so.
Yeah, you do get into it. I don't care. Can he play? Get him out there.
No, I don't care about the analytics. Yeah. All right, you ready? So his, let's just go back to the back of the page. Yeah, I think you have that right. So 2025, yeah, $15 million. And then you got a team option for next year and the year after. Right. And both of those seasons are $2 million buyout. So, I mean, that changes the complexion. What I'm saying is I'm willing to take a chance on somebody and see if that talent and that upside with a more competitive situation and a better players around you can get him back to where he was, but I'm less willing to do it when I know I owe you $20 million and $20 million with no guarantee that you're going to be a player who cares about his job. If it's a two, which he doesn't, I saw a video of him jogging to first base over the weekend. It was ridiculous, literally jogging. But with a $2 million buyout, it's different. It's absolutely worth the risk for $2 million. Yeah.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Hoff, you have something before?
Yeah, I have. So there's a player from the Vegas Raiders who just got cut today. His name is Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah. So there was an incident that happened today. The incident was that he playfully was giving a kiss to a teammate on top of his head, and the teammate took offense to that, and that was the incident that caused Christian Wilkins to be cut from the Raiders.
I saw that. It's been this. I didn't really see that. I heard.
Yeah,
it was...
Schefter talked about that on the Pat McAfee show, and then on top of that, Deion Sanders had a press release that came out said that he had a bladder tumor that has been removed. And now he is supposedly cured from cancer.
Well, good. Good for Deion. Good for Deion.
Celebrities got to watch themselves here this last couple of weeks.
I know. This Wilkins stuff is weird. It was deemed weird behavior, weird locker room behavior. So there's obviously a ton of information.
I was reading before on one of the scrolls that said because he didn't rehab his foot properly.
That was the people thought that was the team trying to protect
him. So it's because
him.
He gave one of his teammates a playful kiss on top of the head?
Then I heard another report. He was, rubbing one of his teammates' toes. I don't know what the hell.
Dude, you know how many times people.
I don't know what's going on.
Can I just be honest here? And I'm not trying to be freaky.
What the heck?
Hold on.
What kind of show is this? They go away for a week and your guy's getting cut because they rub a toe?
Let me just. How often, and I'm not trying to be inappropriate here, how often do people get smacked on their ass?
All the time.
Yeah. constantly.
Yeah, you mean like, hey, good job? Like, yeah, that could, yeah for
and
sure.
And you get a good piece of that cheek. I mean, come on, you kidding me?
Happens in Little League, right, since yeah. since you're a kid.
I think that
And that's other, normal.
No, it is, unless somebody tells you to stop, and then you don't stop, which is apparently, reportedly, allegedly, whatever, which is what happened with the Vegas Raiders. And the other thing, too, is that there was video that resurfaced when he was at Clemson, and I had forgot about this. I think they were playing Ohio State. And one of the players was on the ground, the Buckeye, and he basically, I'm going to just stop it at this, but took two fingers. The player was face down on the turf. I'm telling you, man, this guy's weird, dude. This guy's strange.
Can he get to the quarterback? I mean, Jets and Giants? Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to want to be near him if he keeps this up, but get to anybody.
He played 5 games for Vegas before suffering season-ending foot surgery. What a weird...
Yeah, it's definitely... There's not a lot of reporting, and there's more a lot of innuendo and speculation, so you have to be careful. But there's a lot of guys around the league who are coming out now saying, like, yeah, he's weird. Like, their words, like, you know, this shouldn't surprise or fool anybody. He's kind of been inclined to maybe push the boundaries a bit.
Coming off a vacation, I had a lot of stuff. We got to that.
Superman Happy Gilmore, Little League suspension, check. Yeah, you- Sal stay at home vacation, which drove him half nuts. Check.
One thing I will say.
Yeah.
So Saturday was the day that my buddy Vin came over with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We grew up, you know, hanging out together. The first time we ever hung out, just him and his daughter and me and my daughter.
That's always fun. I got
it.
You.
Was cool. They came over in the pool. Now my wife's out, right? And what do you think is going on? She's texting me. Oh, how's it going? You having fun? Send pictures.
Okay.
Send pics like with dudes. We're in the pool. We're managing, figuring out how to, you know, change the diapers, get the kids to go to bed, whatever it may be. Like, you know what we're doing? We're not taking pictures. We're complaining about our wives. But that's what we're doing. Wives want the pictures. Guys are complaining about the wives.
You should have taken a picture of you guys complaining about your wives.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Get it off the ring.
But that's
here's a screenshot. We're right in the middle of talking about you. How do you like that?
Right. Here's me and Vin complaining about you guys harassing us, not leaving us alone. Anyway, so that was one note there. And I know you did not see it, the whole Billy Joel special, right?
No, a little snippet. I actually fell asleep, which I never do watching something.
Yeah, I started, that's the other thing, dude. Even though it's like, oh yeah, daughter's asleep at 8 o'clock. I'm thinking I'm going to go all night and watch all these movies. No, by 10 o'clock, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm starting to struggle a little bit.
What time should you get up the next day?
6:30.
Because you're going to sleep in at all, yeah.
No, gotcha. 6:30. No, Mom, it's exhausting.
Yep.
I don't know how my wife does it. I won't tell her that. I'm like, I work 3 jobs. Suck it up. What are you going to do? Stay home and take care of the kid all day? Big deal. But no, it is a long day. But so the Billy Joel thing is a must watch. I'll wait for you to talk about that.
What do you love about it so much? Without giving specifics of the actual footage.
It was incredible insight. First of all, you know about his story a little bit. Like, it's almost like the real-life Rocky, where remember how Rocky, when Paulie loses all his money?
When Paulie? Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, right. The power of attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Billy Joel trusted his ex-wife's brother.
Christy Brinkley?
No. The one before that. It goes through all his wives. And they're all in it, by the way. Christy Brinkley's in it. His first wife, Elizabeth Weber's in it.
His first wife is in it. Dude, from the 70s, like when he was just coming up?
It's 4 hours long. There's 2 parts to it. So I know, but it's an easy because then there's music. My favorite part about it is it goes into explanation for all the songs.
Yes.
All the familiar songs that we all know about.
Yeah.
You get detail about how he wrote all those songs and what he was going through. It really is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I love him even more, and I've been listening to a lot of the music since. But yeah, his ex-wife, who like was his first muse, and they came up together, whatever, her... Even against
screwed him over a little bit. How much did he lose? How much did he like a ton? Because he wasn't making that much.
So
to
much
start.
So
like
much
big was, shot like that. Yeah, at that point.
I don't remember the exact time frame, but he put it this way: he should have had a lot more.
Yeah.
And he then had to go. He had to come up with more music and go back out on tour again.
Just to
like
get back
Rocky
to
getting
him.
Back in the ring, just to start getting back and then making more. He, long story short, he's okay, but like
he also blew a lot on coke and booze and ran cars and off road. Like Billy was a maniac.
But
he also
says that he was not. It was reported that they were DUIs, and he denies it, saying that they were not DUIs. Yeah, you got to watch it. Yeah, it's. Anyway, it's 4 hours, so it seems long,
yep.
And I watched it in 2 parts.
Like, HBO Max.
Yeah. It's fantastic, though. I couldn't recommend that enough. And then, obviously, the only other thing that we didn't really discuss, you discussed it last week, was the Hogan stuff. But we could get into that. Maybe later in the week, I was thinking we'd do a power-up, because I know we've been caught up on watching Hogan stuff.
How about his top five opponents, his top five rivalries?
His top five, whatever you want to do, but we should do a power-up with Hogan later in the week. He's such a big deal.
I know. It really hit me harder the last couple of days. I have listened to I Am a Real American. And honestly, Sal, a ridiculous amount of time. I was working out yesterday in the basement. I was like, Alexa, put on I Am a Real American. And it like went through like three or four different before it finally got me to the right one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, what? When it comes, crash. And he drops the leg on the cheek. I went down a rabbit hole with him. He was the man. He really was.
I watched yesterday the first match against Sheik.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 5. Yep. Yeah, WrestleMania 5.
Was WrestleMania 5 the Ultimate Warrior?
No, that was 6.
6.
5 was Savage. Mega Powers Explode.
Oh, yeah. And Bundy was 2. 3, 2.
Yeah.
Well, because 3 was Andre, of course.
1
yeah.
was the Piper and Orndorff and Mr. T and
Hogan. Of course. And then 2 the second was one Bundy. Was when Piper boxed Mr. T, which was horrendous.
Yeah, right.
And then he was in the cage with Bundy Hulk.
Right.
In number two,
yes. And then 3 was really my first memory of it.
Silverdome.
Yes.
Andre.
And then 4 was when Savage won in the tournament, but Hogan helped him out.
Uh-huh.
Then they build up the mega powers, and then they explode.
Then they explode.
That Saturday Night Main Event where Liz gets knocked out.
That was the best behind in the dressing room.
Yeah.
You got eyes for my girl. I see those jealous eyes.
So my buddy Jimmy Trina texted me Hogan dead. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And then I was driving to brunch at the time, and I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those, like, look, I do want to put it in perspective, because I do think people are going overboard a little bit with somebody that, like, when you lose a parent, like my father died, unfortunately, at 65. That hits you a little bit different than Hulk Hogan dying.
Of course.
Right. So I just want to put it in perspective. Like, I wasn't crushed and I couldn't move on with my day. But there is a sadness to it when somebody who felt immortal and larger than life, like, I actually can't believe he's dead. But with all the clips that are out there and all the, like, Hulkamania, it sounds corny, but
Hulkamania's going to run live forever.
Yeah,
it's going to run wild forever. It really is. It does sound corny, but it's true. And it doesn't really sound corny if you lived it. Like, yeah, of course, not a parent, it's not family, but I don't know. There has to be one or two. But, you know, even Ozzy, I loved Ozzy's music. Rest in peace. Amazing. Malcolm Jamal Warner, loved the Cosby Show. Amazing.
I met him once. I rang him up.
Who, Ozzy or Malcolm Jamal Warner?
No, Ozzy. That would have been something. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Okay.
I was working in the summer. We used to get transferred out to Bridgehampton, King Cullen. So it was out east. Yeah, that's it. Picture me ringing people. I still have the receipt. He signed a receipt for me. I rang him up. Like, Cindy Crawford used to shop there. Huh? Molly Shannon.
She's hysterical.
So I rang up Malcolm Jamal Warren once, and he wrote to Sal Peace and all that after I rang up his groceries. I was saddened by that one as well.
That was a great show, and he was a good guy. Yeah, and he drowned with his family in Costa Rica. Horrendous.
They were his daughter, and they saved his daughter.
Just, they did. And somebody else I thought was, I guess they just pulled him out.
Good
and they
God,
couldn't get him.
That's horrible.
But I mean, you know, somebody dies, and like some people lay it on extra thick, and it doesn't really impact them the way they portray. But I think a lot of that's derived from trying to be respectful. I don't think that. But like with Hulk Hogan, I don't know that there's ever been. There has to have been one or two, maybe. Like another death that really made me feel that way, non-family, because of how early he was in the picture for my life,
right?
And how much I loved the guy as a wrestler.
I know, and how many years he's been relevant, and like that.
That too.
There are very few. Like you think what Jordan? You think you'd feel that impact with Jordan?
Matty Lynn would have cried my eyes out for sure. Donnie, you know, Donnie would be the guy. And I don't even want to start. The athletes that I loved growing up.
That's true. I guess I wasn't even thinking that. I'm thinking more like I was thinking Tyson or that level of. You know, it's different with the baseball guys because we feel like we're closer to that. Hogan was a national.
Yeah.
When do you think, give me the other names who were even of that magnitude.
From like, wrestling or
no, just
anything.
In general, like that's what I'm saying. Like you're talking about Jordan, you're talking about Tyson, like that type of magnitude.
Tiger.
Yeah.
Jack.
But that's what Hogan is. Like,
oh, no question about it.
So much so that people were texting my wife like, oh my God.
How Sal doing?
Yeah. Yeah, because of Hulk Hogan. Like they were a little saddened by it. I wore a Hulk Rule shirt because I have a lot of stuff like
you do. You do.
Yeah. So the next day I wore it, and
I sent you a picture from the garage from the chairs that we got at Saturday Night's Main Event. Hogan's on it that they gave us,
and people were like, "Oh yeah, nice shirt." You never know. Like you know, yeah, obviously.
Well, because he said some things. Well, it's a little complicated. What about? Did you see what Cody Rhodes said?
I did not see. Oh,
okay,
yes,
so
I did.
Triple
see what
H was phenomenal.
Right.
Cody Rhodes started it, and he started with it's complicated. I thought that was the wrong approach. It is complicated with Hulk. We all understand
right.
that. I think he's going to lament that down. Like, that is his testimony to as a voice of the WWE. And I just.
What, you
I
say don't, you don't I, think he should have said it's complicated?
I don't think. No, Triple H didn't say that.
Yeah. Here's why, to me, it's common sense. This is not about Terry Bollea
yep.
or Hulk Hogan, the person, the same way we don't talk about Lawrence Taylor, the person.
Exactly. Who's been arrested how many times?
Like, we're talking about Hulk Hogan. Obviously, we know, you would hope that obviously people know what he said, the racist stuff and his thoughts, not even just what he said, his feelings
mm-hmm,
on that
mm-hmm.
were absurd. We're talking about Hulk Hogan, the character. By the way, he lied to us about the prayers, the vitamins, and all that stuff as well. Guy was doing PED, so he was a liar. I looked up to Hulk Hogan, through the training, the prayers, and the vitamins. You find out he was doing PEDs.
Well, maybe he was praying he didn't get pinched.
Yeah, well, whatever.
He knew he was
so there were obviously issues. Nobody would stand by the racism.
No,
and all that.
Of course not. You get separation from that. I just don't think it's the first thing you do. But you know, whatever some people did, I didn't think that Cody should have taken that route myself. The thing
or
too,
political. I didn't even like. I don't even think that. But that was a big thing.
Stumping for Trump with the. Republican convention at the Garden.
I didn't even think about that, but that was a big thing too.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I mean, it was very polarizing. 50% love Trump, 50% hate. You know, give or take a percent, they hate him. So if you hate Trump, and then you hate Hogan for his role at the convention. The thing though too, and I said this when you were out when I found out about this. Like, all right, there's going to be somebody who is an amazing dunker, but maybe a better dunker than Jordan. But nobody's going to change the sneaker game like Jordan.
I heard you say this about Hogan.
You know, there's just nobody's going to change. I don't think the pass rush like quite like Lawrence Taylor did off the edge. And I don't know how anybody can quite elevate wrestling. Same with Tiger and golf the way Hogan did. There's only so much more for it to grow. You know, because I was telling the stories. My grandma was watching it at St. Dominic's Parish in 1980, like in Bensonhurst or OLA or St. Pat's in Bay Ridge.
Right,
and you had Ivan Putski and Andre the Giant showing up for 600 people.
He built it up to where, it could get bigger, but never be the first the way he did it again. All right, let's get back to some serious stuff here. 888-80, not that Hogan dying is not serious, but you know what I'm talking about. 888-808-1019. Martino has a report here. It came out 9 minutes ago.
Like,
now,
you like this?
We mentioned it before. Mauricio, Beatty, Vientos.
Yep.
Of those three, before I give you what he's reporting here.
Yep.
And it's not an actual trade.
I got you.
Like
just
that.
Maybe something he's thinking about.
Give me who you think of those three would be most likely to be on the move.
I think that I'm not saying that I would agree with this.
Yeah.
I think the Mets would be most inclined to move Vientos.
Andy Martino, 9 minutes ago, quote, the Mets are discussing Mark Vientos in trade talks and are believed open to moving him this week.
There you go. And the reason why I said that is because I think that they were very turned off by, there was a professional, forget about the stats, they are what they are, he's had a bad year. Also been hurt. But there was a professional indifference from him early this year, going back to that early
against the Marlins.
And Mendoza spoke to him, Lindor spoke to him. You know, a couple of plays at third where he was just sloppy. There was a foul ball. There was just you Met fans and those who saw, you know what I'm talking about. And then not busting Hump down the line. Like, I think that they think that he is more expendable than the others. Mauricio's got a world of talent. Beatty has looked the part more and more and more. Maybe they just think Vientos is lazy and or they don't know how good he truly is.
He doesn't have a position. Look, if you go back to where it was a year ago, maybe what he did during last season was the aberration, because prior to that, the organization, even with prior regimes, weren't high on him.
I know they weren't. Not at all.
Buck couldn't deal with them. I'm not saying he couldn't stand him personally, but Buck wanted no part of him.
Mm-hmm.
Can't field, clearly.
Can't run.
And now, you know, well, he's got that confidence. Now he didn't back up his aberration of a year. He needed to cement it.
Yep.
God, man, shocking. Let me just read this, then we'll take a break and finish up on the phones. Mets have been discussing Vientos and trade talks this week. This is Andy Martino, SNY.TV. Rival executives believe that the team is willing to move him. This according to league sources. Teams have asked about Vientos, Beatty, and Mauricio.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets are not actively trying to rid themselves of any of those young infielders. But given Beatty's recent production and newfound versatility, rival execs have come away with the sense that Vientos is more available than the others.
Well, I would say that, and again, I mean, what does it really mean? But how I read it, and I gave you the name Vientos before you gave me the name in Andy's report, I think the Mets are reading that properly.
I agree with that. which is crazy to think, a year ago.
I was saying he should bat two. Remember that?
Yeah, but Lindor, coming into the year,
Soto.
And I still think he's got that potential, but they're going to have to make a decision on one of them.
Yep.
That's the point.
Yep.
And if it were me, I'm not touching, I'm leaving Mauricio alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would ever have anybody untouchable, but there's not going to be anything worth it to get back to move him. So leave him alone. So then it's Beatty or Vientos. Which one do you trust to at least contribute at the big league level more consistently?
It's become Beatty.
Yeah, he's definitely more versatile already.
Second base, third, lefty stick. He's playing well for last month. Yep.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Cameron calling from Mahwah. What's up, Cameron?
Hi.
Hi.
I want the Mets to trade for Luis Robert Jr. from the Chicago White Sox because it sounds like the White Sox really want Mark Vientos. I don't know how I feel about trading Vientos, but Lubob has very good potential. I feel like once he gets out of Chicago, he'll be very good. His season stats, he has a .209 batting average, which is a little concerning, but he does have 10 home runs and 41 RBIs. How do you feel about trading for Luis Robert for the New York Mets?
Well, I'm trying to get past the fact, and thank you for the call, Cameron, that you obviously sounded underage there.
Yep. But pretty well spoken.
Well, yeah, very good.
Pretty buttoned up. Good job, buddy.
How about that Lubob? I never heard that for Luis Robert.
Neither have I.
Now, do we pin this on Hoff's bad ear because of the ear infection? What happened there, Hoff? How'd that one get by you?
Well, he sounded smarter than me. That's the first thing.
Oh, so you did know he was a child that you put on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did talk to his grandfather who was sitting right next to him. I forgot Stan was his name.
I thought he was great. Yeah, he did better than some of the other calls we had today. That kid was on top of it, man. He's giving stats.
He did sound pretty good. There you go. Young Cam bringing the heat earlier for the call of the day. Let's finish up on the phone.
How old do you think, by the way, Sal? He sounded like 9.
8, yeah.
He was young.
Something like that.
Very good.
Gregory is calling from under 10. 10U.
Yes.
Gregory calling from
10U, yes.
Gregory 10U. Calling from Atlanta. What's up, Greg?
That's right. What's up, Greg?
Hey, gents. Well, I hope you enjoyed your vacation there, sir.
Thanks.
Just want to let you guys know you guys do put on a great show. I concur with the young man that called regarding Luis Robert. I think it'd be a great opportunity for the Mets. I mean, no, I do like. Now, don't get me wrong. I do like Mark Vientos, but he's kind of a little bit one dimensional. It's the power bat, and that's it. He's slow. He can't. He's slow at running the bases. So he's expendable.
It's one of the reasons, Gregory, and thank you for the call. It's one of the reasons why BT last year, before the season, I was not a fan of Vientos. How can you have a young kid who can't play a position? Like, he can't play third, whatever, at first. They didn't need a first baseman at the time. Like, that was a big part of why I was anti-Mark Vientos. And then he went and performed the way that he did offensively. And if you do that, you figure it out. You have him play third, you have him play first, or you have him DH. I think the Mets are at a point now, clearly, where they know they need to make a decision. Now, it could be a mistake. Maybe Vientos goes somewhere else and turns out to be a prolific offensive player. I'm with you more so. I know you're making the faces.
Yeah, there, like, right? I don't feel it at this point, which is really weird because the reason why I thought Vientos, why I was sold on Vientos is, and he had a lot of good regular season moments. But to me, when you hit the way he hit against the best pitching in the playoffs, like, That's next level stuff. Now, I'm not saying there can't be, a bit of fool's gold in somebody's performance on a big stage. But generally, that comes with an abundance of talent and pitch recognition. And more importantly, like a slow heartbeat. The reason why I like Vientos was everything was getting more intense and he was just slowing down, ripping. Like, he wasn't overwhelmed at all. And I thought that would serve him well.
Also, BT, it does bear watching because of what this means for the future. Where Vientos was always looked at as insurance for Alonso in case, at least last year, you just move Vientos to first base.
That's what was said.
So not only insurance for Alonso, moving forward, but also who the hell's going to DH next year? Like, Starling Marte is not going to be here.
Next year.
Meaning that you give up on that bat. Now, you're going to be getting something in return if you give up Vientos. It's not like they're looking to actively go out there and do it. But if they do, that's a pretty high upside right-handed bat that could either play first or DH moving forward to think about maybe not having Alonso or not having a DH next
year. Think about what Stearns values, and because look, who brought in Tyrone Taylor? That was David Stearns. Yeah. He had him in Milwaukee. I mean, obviously he's not hitting much. He's never going to hit, but he's a hell of a center fielder. And when Stearns addressed this the other day, he was fairly supportive of Taylor, even though he said, listen, he's not hitting the way, you know, optimally we want a little bit more. But if you're a Stearns guy and you know what he's valuing, I mean, Vientos is just not a defensive player, never will be. Heavy feet, not a real position. Stearns is saying to himself, I'm not going to win big games with this guy. Right. I mean, the time to trade him would be now where he still has some upside.
And clearly too many holes offensively as well. Well, I mean, that is a interesting day one here of trade deadline week where you got the reports now coming out. Fast and furious, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. Who knows? Maybe something even breaks later today. Andy did say to tag that column, the Mets are actively seeking bullpen help.
Another arm.
And potentially a starter and center fielder as well.
I think they need a starting pitcher.
He referenced Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. He referenced those two.
Maybe get all three of them. Or maybe get one of the pitchers and Suarez.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to make that move, you might as well get one of the pitchers back, too. Gallen with high upside. All right, that does it for us. Good to be back with you, BT. Do it again tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff. Thanks to everybody who listened and who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.